Hallelujah. God is able to heal, deliver, and set free. We're here to reflect the image of His glory. We are here to represent the kingdom of God. This is what the purpose of the church is. We're a training ground to help each generation become more and more effective at impacting the world. Being able to be not just educated in the things of God and in the ways of God, but also to be endued with power, to be endued with the Spirit of God, the power of God. What good is it if you fill your car up with gas, but when you start the car and step on the gas, it can't move? You need to have power in your life, power to move, power to engage, to do the things that God has called us to do. And you and I are the people of God. And the whole idea of a God is that gods are powerful, aren't they? Isn't that right? Yes. I mean, you don't need to be a believer to know that. You could be a sinner and know that gods are supposed to have power. And so if you're a child of God, the world is expecting you to be a child with power, with authority, with the ability to do and accomplish the things of God. And God expects us to be a people that are powerful in Him. Not in ourselves, but as God reflects Himself through us. And it's not our strength, our power, our will. It is the will and the power and the strength of God working through us. And so I pray that you are doing well today and that the Spirit of God is working in the midst of you. And I hope you do come out and see the play. That is only one more weekend left, two more shows. And I think Saturday is almost sold out, isn't it? It is sold out. Yeah, almost. We have one ticket left for Saturday afternoon. All right, so keep that in mind. But we have a few for Friday, but we're selling out. So squeeze on in. You know, if you have some friends here at the church, you might be able to, you know. I'm just saying. Yeah. But God is looking for us to have power in our lives, and we are using what God has given us so that we can impact the world. The whole idea of being a child of God is reflecting the kingdom of God, the ways of God, the strength of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God, everything that relates to God, His character, His nature, all that He is. You and I reflect that. And as people engage us, they are engaging the matters of the kingdom, people of the kingdom. Jesus said, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That is a reflection of who He was. And you and I are reflections of Christ. And when people see us, they ought to see Jesus. Just as when people saw Jesus, they saw the Father. And the same Spirit that dwells in Christ dwells in us. And this is how it's done. It's done through the Spirit of God. And that is why it's more than just knowing facts. It's about operating in the strength and in the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about the reflection and the image of His glory as we close out this year. And God is enabling us to prevail. Are you prevailing today? Are you prevailing beyond the times? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I am prevailing. Hallelujah. I am prevailing. And I know many of you are prevailing. And we have seen people overcome obstacles, challenges, and difficulties because God is faithful. And this is why we serve the Lord. If you don't serve the Lord, then how do you expect God to do anything? And so this is what the Christian life is all about. So I would like to begin today by asking the question, very interesting question. Do you know how glass is made? Do you know how glass is made? It's a very interesting process, and the whole idea that glass is made from sand. And that's a very interesting concept because sand doesn't even look anything like glass. And glass doesn't look anything like sand. Yet because the sand has been brought through a process that makes it transparent and cohesive, that process causes it to take on a new identity. And just as Christ redeems us, he saves us, he delivers us, he brings us through a process that causes us to have a new identity. You cannot trace where we're from based on who we are in Christ. So when you look at our lives, you would never know what our past has been because we're reflecting the image of Christ. And so today I would like to use as a theme for today, looking glass, looking glass. You look rather glass today. Hallelujah. God has called us to be people that the world can see through and see Christ. They ought to be able to see through us and see Jesus. And this is what the Word of God is helping us to do so that we can live our lives in a way that reflects the kingdom of God, that reflects Jesus himself. And there are ways that God brings us through this process, but I want you to take a look at this in just a moment so that you can understand what it is that God is doing in our lives. So join me as we pray. Are you ready? Yes. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful for your word today. And we ask, oh Lord, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Give us the strength, the power, the wisdom, the understanding, so that we can have the patience that we need, so that we can focus and see all that you are doing, that we might reflect the kingdom of God. Help us to be the people you've called us to be, so that the world would see and know that Christ is the Savior of the world. And the same way he has saved us, others can also be saved. The world can be redeemed. It can be transformed and changed. All it needs are people who can reflect the kingdom of God and the image of his glory. Lord, we thank you for all that you are doing in the midst of us. Tweak our ears that we would have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today, that we might reflect and be the looking glass that you have called us to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, there is something exciting about being a child of God. Well, there's many things that are exciting about being a child of God. And you and I are able to go through life and all the challenges that we face experiencing kingdom atmosphere and environment. One of the things that enabled me to endure commuting down to Lower Manhattan for so many years was that I was able to abide in the presence of God. I was able to worship him and magnify the Lord. And no matter how stressful it was, no matter how challenging and difficult things were, the peace of God is able to enable you to endure all these things and even confound yourself. And this is what God can do in our lives. He can make himself ever present and ever known. And so I would like to begin by showing you this little video. Not Doug. Well, kind of, but all right, let's look. So this little girl is pondering, where does glass come from? And she says, I know they make windows, they make car windshields, they make drinking glasses, they even make glasses out of it. They make buildings and skyscrapers, cell phones, Doug's cell phone. When you look at wood, I know where wood comes from. A wooden table comes from a tree. And that's pretty obvious, isn't it? And when you look at a statue, statues come from stone, from rocks. But glass, when I look at glass, I don't know where that comes from. It could come from anywhere. But we know it comes from sand. And sand looks nothing like glass. It's very interesting, isn't it? Don't you find it interesting? I'm talking to yous, yeah. Sand, you know, sand. Sand is, you thought I was the video voiceover. It's process. It's brought through a process, and they bring it in, they heat it up in these ovens that are called kilns. And they heat it to a couple of thousand degrees. It's very hot until it becomes like molten lava. And as you can see, that's a lot of heat. That's a lot of cohesion that this was brought through. And then it's poured through this machine that spreads it out like sheets. And that's how we get the glass panels that we're all very familiar with. And as this process is done, as the glass cools, it becomes transparent. And this is what God is doing in our lives. As we go through this process of being molded and shaped by life experiences, and the more challenging life is, the more God is able to refine you. The greater the difficulties, the greater the challenges that you face, the greater, in the end, your faith will be. Because you will have seen God accomplish great and mighty things in your life. In fact, the word of God says, to whom has been forgiven much will appreciate much. And so the more that God has brought you through, the more you will be appreciative of God. But in the end, it doesn't matter where you started. In the end, you will be transparent. One day we will be like him. One day we will see him as he is. It won't be about us at all, but we will experience his glory, the fullness of who he is. And you and I are being made to be like glass as we go through the challenges and the difficulties of life, as we endure all the things that life comes or brings our way, so that Christ can be seen. The idea is that people need to see through you and see Christ. People need to be able to see Christ as we go through life. And while life is refining us, there will be times when God will let you cool off. Hallelujah. Have you ever gotten heated and you just needed to cool off? Hallelujah. And then after you cool off, you're able to think more clearly. Yeah, you're catching on now. Yes, very good. Yes. And so this process that God brings us through is so that we can better reflect God. The better we are able to do this, the more God is able to be seen in our lives. And this is what God is working us through. And no matter where we are in the process, God always gives you an opportunity to cool off so you can clear up. And when you clear up, then others have an opportunity to hear your story, your testimony of what God did to bring you through and how you are his witness and you are his testimony. You are his workmanship, the Bible says. And you and I are being made into the image of Christ.
And this we see in the life of Habakkuk. He is one of the minor prophets, and they call them major prophets and minor prophets based on how long or how short their books are, right? So this is a short book. It's only three chapters, and you can read this, you know, in a short amount of time, a few minutes. And if you're really smart, you can have the Bible app read it to you even faster than you can read it yourself. Well, some of us. And so there's always an opportunity to learn from the experiences of the people in the Word of God. And Habakkuk is an interesting character because he is the only prophet in the Bible that didn't prophesy to people. He's talking to God. He is a prophet unto God. And you and I are like him in so many ways, and we'll see in a moment, but you and I can also be as prophets unto God. God has called us to be able to enact or engage with God, that we are cooperating with God, that we are interacting with God. This is who we are and what we ought to be. You ought to be a prophet unto God. God ought to be talking to you. You ought to be talking to God. And he ought to be speaking to you and giving you direction and helping you understand what's going on in your life. You develop and cultivate this relationship with him, and God begins to bring clarity to your life as you go through the various situations that you face. And so we see here in Habakkuk chapter 1, we'll take a look at his life experience here in this encounter with God. And so it begins here with him saying or asking the question, "How long, O Lord, will I call for help and you will not hear? I cry out to you, violence, and yet you don't save." What's going on here, God? What is going on? And this is an interesting way to engage God, isn't it? Don't you find that this is interesting? This is pretty bold, isn't it? He's like, God, what are you doing? Or he's all more like, God, do you know what you're doing? Are you even there? You know, there's things going on. Now, Habakkuk lived during the time of Jeremiah, right? And so all the things that were going on, and you know Jeremiah, boy, oof, right? We learned that last week. Jeremiah had it tough. He had it tough because of all that he went through. But on the other hand, Habakkuk was there. He too was looking at everything that was going on. It was a time where war was rising up. It was on the horizon. And the rumor was that the Chaldeans were coming. And these Chaldeans were ruthless people, and we'll see that in a moment. But they are coming after the people of Israel. Now, why are they coming? Now, they're coming because of something that happened, or it certainly relates back to what happened when they came into the Promised Land. You remember the Promised Land? You remember Moses and Joshua? And before they went into the Promised Land, God gave them a series of instructions. Do you remember that? And as a result, the people of Israel did not listen over time. They started out good, right? When they came in and they took the land, they did well. But it wasn't so much that first generation that came in and took the Promised Land. It was the next generation, the children of the people who took the Promised Land, and then their children's children. And as time went on, things got worse and worse and worse because they forgot what Moses and Joshua told them when they came into the Promised Land. Now, it's always been interesting to me that God didn't come back and repeat himself over and over again, except through the priests that were there. And they're following the law of Moses, which means every weekend they would get together just like we do now. The only difference is they would show up right before sunrise so that when the sun broke, they would begin to read the word of God, which means they got here early. So they would sit and hear the word of God, right? The word of God would be read to them over and over throughout their lives every day from sun up until sundown, all day long. That's where the term the Lord's Day comes from, right? You familiar with that term?
Yes.
I know we're in 2021, right? So there's no such thing as the Lord's Day anymore. Now it's the Lord's hour. Isn't that right? You go to a lot of these churches, they're in and out in an hour. Man, they're flipping services like pancakes at IHOP. There's no fellowship. There's no meditating and reflecting over and letting things soak in. There's no experiencing glory and presence and all this stuff. Man, they're like, get them in there. Soon as you get hot, flip them. As soon as you want more, they're like, up next. Hallelujah. And this is the thing now. This is what the world wants. But God says it's the Lord's day. And on the Lord's day, I don't know about you. Have you ever worked in a Jewish facility on the Lord's day? On the Sabbath day, they won't even push an elevator button. Mm-mm. They don't even flip light switches. They say, oh, it's the Lord's day. We're not doing any work. We're meditating on the Lord. I say, by the way, could you hit that button for me? Well, they figure you're not meditating on the Lord, so you might as well hit the buttons. You flip the switches. You hit the button. But at me, I'm just going to keep thinking about the Lord. So it's the Lord's day. And they forgot. The Israelites forgot over time. And their kids just let it all go away. And God finally said, it's time. Since you forgot, I'm going to bring the heat. I'm going to bring the troubles. And for various times throughout the history of Israel, they had one problem after the next with their neighbors, with the people around them. And there was violence and war, and there were all kinds of things, but it was always because of their disobedience. And as soon as they called upon the name of the Lord, God would show up and he would deliver them. He would raise up a deliverer and he would heal them and they would be set free. And this is the process in which God works. And when you read through scripture, you see this and you can understand it. And if you're wise, you can learn from it because it will teach you how to live a successful Christian life. You will learn how to apply biblical principles in your life so that you can avoid problems. You can avoid issues and challenges and difficulties and hardships. One of the things you see in the world is the fact that the reason evil increases and intensifies in the world is because of the absence of godliness. It's the absence of God that causes the evil to come in.
Yes.
It's not that the evil is there and God's just allowing it. God is saying, no, I've given you the keys to the kingdom.
Hallelujah.
I have given you the authority and the power and the strength and the wisdom. So you're the one who will determine what happens in your life and around you. So, with this principle at work in the world, the whole idea of where is God? That's a foolish thing to say. Because God is saying, I have given you my word. I've given you my spirit. What more can he give us? I've given you the keys to the kingdom. It's like somebody giving you the keys to a brand new car and saying, all right, have at it. Where you have to go, where you got to go, do what you got to do. And you stand around holding the keys in your pocket going, I don't have anybody to give me a ride. Dude, you got the key. You got the car. It's full of gas. Changed the oil just the other day. Right? Man, get in and go. You got a license, drive. Waiting for somebody else to do the work. No, God is not going to magically show up and do stuff. You and I have the keys. God says, open the door. Get behind the wheel. Start the car. You might need a GPS. So here is the word of God. I even gave it to you on an app. so it can be read to you, just in case you didn't do well in school, right? And so God has given us all the resources that we need so that we can accomplish his will in our lives. And so Habakkuk is one of these people. He's looking at what's going on, and he sees that the Chaldeans are stirring up trouble. The most ruthless, violent nation in the world is rising up, and he is watching this, and he's saying, God, I'm looking at this. I'm sounding the alarm. There's violence on the horizon. There's problems. There's trouble in the world all around me, and you're not doing anything. So he goes on, he says, why do you make me see iniquity and then cause me to look on wickedness? And yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Therefore, the law is ignored and justice is never upheld. For the wicked surround the righteous, and therefore, justice comes out perverted. Whew. Sounds like something I saw in the news just the other day. This is the condition of the world we're in. This is what's going on because this is how the world works. This is how things are when there is an absence of the power and the presence of God working through his people. We, you and I, have to become transparent so that when we abide in God, he is able to shine into us and through us. God wants to work through us so that what is happening in the world can be impacted by the glory of God. And so God has given us the resources that we need so that we can be the people he's called us to be. Not just to recognize evil, not just to say, look what's going on. Oh God, I'm doing this, I'm praying, I'm going through all the motions, I'm doing the hum and the chin and the hum. And Lord, and I, you know, nothing is happening. Where are you? God help me, what's going on? I'm doing all the stuff. He's going, you don't even answer me. You're not answering. You ever feel like that? Like God is not answering? You're like, well, I prayed. I read my Bible. I went to church. I went to a prayer meeting. I even met with some real Christian people. We're on fire for God. Lord, I'm doing everything. I'm listening. I'm trying to hear. God said, dude, don't worry. Don't worry. I've got this. So Habakkuk is wondering, where is God in all this and what's going on? And so God responds. He says, look among the nations. Observe. Be astonished. Yes, you should. He said, even wonder. Yes. Because I am doing something in your days. You wouldn't believe it if you were told, God says. So here's God. He's excited. He's like, yeah, look. Look at all this. It's crazy, isn't it? Man, it's insane. But Habakkuk forgot why this is all happening. This is happening because, you know, you guys had the keys and you didn't get in the car and drive. God is saying, but you look. I'm glad you see what's happening. I'm glad you recognize what's taking place in the world around you. And he says, but guess what? I am doing something. I am doing something. And saints of God, God is doing something today. It may not look like there's nothing happening before God. It may not look like he's not helping or he's not involved or he's not working, but God is at work. You wouldn't believe it if you were told that God is doing something. God says, watch and see. For behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that fierce and impetuous people who march throughout the earth to seize dwelling places which are not theirs. You know, those evil people, those people who are just ruthless and just downright demonic. He says, yeah, I'm using them. He says, that's crazy, isn't it? And all the people of God said, what? 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 And Habakkuk is just like, stunned. He's just listening to this. And it says, they are dreaded, these Chaldeans. They are feared. Their justice and authority originate with themselves. They make their own rules. They do whatever they want. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Their horses are even swifter than leopards and keener than wolves in the evening. It says their horsemen come galloping. Their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle. Hallelujah. Swooping down to devour. Hallelujah. They are fierce. These people are incredible. This is God describing them. You know, if God is describing you like this, oh, you bad. Yeah, oh, you are bad, man. You are bad. You are really bad. God is like, oh yeah, man, these guys are, whew, man, this is a rough bunch. Oh yeah, and they're coming for you. By the way, they are coming for you. They are coming, as you can see. And so he says, all of them, they come for violence. Their horde of faces moves forward. They collect captives like sand. Ooh. Ooh. Are you going through problems in your life? Are you dealing with situations and circumstances in your life? Do you watch the news? The Chaldeans are coming. The Chaldeans are coming. Oh, they are coming. And they are coming with fierce faces. They are intent on having their way. And saints of God, this culture is like the Chaldean culture, very similar to it. And I am telling you, they're coming. They are here. And if you're paying attention to what's going on in the world, they are coming. You'll see there is trouble all around us. Everyone is feeling the pressure. Everyone is feeling the heat. Everyone is feeling the disturbance. There is a shaking and a quaking going on in the world around us. It says that the Chaldeans mock at kings and rulers are a laughing matter to them. They laugh at every fortress and heap up rubble to capture it. Hallelujah. They're like, we don't even care if it's a building up or not. It says, we'll just take rubble and stack it up so we can capture it. We just want to capture stuff just to say we got it. That's how evil they are. They don't even care. And the world doesn't really care. And the things that are going on, culture, people just want to do what they want to do. It doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong or anything. They just want what they want. And this is the world we live in. This is the culture that we're in. There is mocking going on at leadership and people in authority. Doesn't matter what party you're from, there's people mocking and making fun of you. They're laughing at you. This is the society that we're in, the culture that we're in. But God has a plan. You wouldn't believe it if you were told. God is at work, saints of God. This whole experience that we're having is not new. It is a common thing throughout history. Every world power in the history of the world has been brought down. All of them have been brought down, usually from within. And we're seeing that happen today ourselves. Our own country is destroying itself. The world is destroying itself. And this is what is happening. And there is a spirit behind the Chaldeans. And the spirit is the spirit of the evil one. Satan is at work. And yet, God has authority over him. God has authority over him. And God has the ability to cause all these things to work together for your good. He says in verse 11, then they will sweep through like the wind and pass on. But they will be held guilty. They whose strength is their God. He says, rest assured, I'm aware of all this. I'm raising them up. I'm giving them the authority and the ability to do what they want to do and to do it their way. but they will be held accountable. And saints of God, that ought to bring a little comfort to us. Because no one does evil against the people of God and gets away with it. No one gets away with doing evil against the people of God. No matter what happens, no matter what your faults are, no matter what sins you have made, when you repent, when you call upon the name of the Lord, he will send a deliverer. God is a healer. God will strengthen you. He will enable you. He will make a way for you. And even when the enemy comes in like a flood, the word of God says God will raise up a standard against him. And Satan has no power and authority except when you and I allow him to have it. We can be like Adam and give Satan the key so that he can have all the authority that God has given us for himself. And that is what's happening in the world. And every time a person comes to Christ, something happens. And we are given the keys to the kingdom. We are given the rights and the authority that the word of God describes so that we can live in transparency. And so that what is happening will be through Christ and God. God will be seen in our lives. Christ will be seen in our lives. The hotter it gets, the more we are made clear, the more tempered we become, the stronger we become. Why? Because God has designed it to work that way. And so the more you endure, the more you have to overcome, and the more you face, the more God is able to shine and refine and reflect himself through your situation. You see, the greater the battle, the greater the victory. And the more you are able to overcome, the greater your testimony will be. The more God does in your life, the more excited you will be about what God is doing in your life. And so God says, oh, you didn't listen when I brought the Hittites and the Jebusites. You didn't listen. That didn't faze you. I brought every kind of I brought every kind of people from every direction. You didn't listen to me. You didn't pay me attention. I brought the Egyptians. I had all kinds of people that were trying. I was trying to get you to just listen, to just remember what I told you, to just bring it all back so that you can get in line, so that you can take the keys, so we can drive, man. But you didn't listen. So now the Chaldeans are coming. Let's see if you like them. Maybe the Chaldeans will cause you to talk to God. Maybe the Chaldeans will cause you to enhance your relationship with God, to be able to be more faithful to God, to be careful of your ways, and to begin to apply the principles. Take the keys and let's drive. The Lord wants to go for a Sunday drive. But you don't have time because you got to do laundry. You're going to the movies. Or maybe you're on your way to work. I don't know. But you don't have time. And when you don't have time, then the Chaldeans come. They show up in your life. They show up and they start meddling with things randomly. And once you open the door, right? Once you stop coming to church on Sunday, it gets easier and easier and easier, doesn't it? You ever notice that? To just stay away. Why? Because once the Chaldeans come in, then they hold you down. The next thing you know, you got one problem after another. Why is the problem always at a time when it's supposed to be with you and God? Satan doesn't bother you when you're just doing nothing, some casual random thing. It's fine. But as soon as you decide you're going to do something that's going to benefit your soul and the kingdom of God and the things of God, Satan shows up. Now you're hindered. Now you can't. Oh, I can't get out. Oh, I can't do it. Oh, my God. Ooh, ow. No. Sometimes you need to be like the man who was lame, and you need someone to pick you up and carry you in. And you say, if you can't get in, drop me in through the roof, man. whatever you got to do, you get me there. And Satan will do everything he can to try to stop you from doing what God would have you to do. And you and I have to be persistent. Say, well, I can't do it today. Looks like I stubbed my toe. Oops. Oh, dropped the remote, broke it. Now all the pieces are everywhere. I guess the sermon's over. We'll just go home. Yeah, forget it. No more. We're done. Everybody, let's go. Let's go get some ice cream at Carvel. Hallelujah. But we don't give up that easy, do we? The people of God should not give up. Because when problems show up, you ought to be reminded God is doing something. When the Chaldeans show up, that's a reminder. Hey, God is doing something. It's not, oh no, what are we going to do? It's, hey, God is doing something. You wouldn't believe it if I told you. And so trouble is a sign that God is trying to get our attention. He's trying to do something different in our lives. He's trying to redeem us. He's trying to bring us back to himself. And it doesn't matter how powerful the opposition or the enemy is, God is faithful. The only reason he's allowing these things to happen is because he loves us and he's jealous. You ever meet somebody jealous? Woof, you've seen those movies, right? I know you've seen those movies. Oh, you guys are some movie-watching folk. I know, right? You know all those movies with those crazy people. They're jealous. They got stuff going on. They're like, oh, I'm going to kill. If I can't have you, nobody will. Right? We've seen them. And they've been throughout history. And saints of God, God is doing something. He is doing something. When trouble comes, that's a sign. Oh, God is doing something. And first thing you want to do is pay attention. Not to what's so much going on. Who cares what's going on? There's nothing but trouble out there. You need to hear from God. You need to be able to say, God, what's going on? And that's what Habakkuk is saying. And he is saying, Lord, how can you say all this stuff? He says, are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? Now he's all intimate, right? All of a sudden he hears that. Oh, I'm using the Chaldeans. They're coming. And he's like, wait, oh, Lord, are you sure? He's so nervous. He's probably shaking. He's quaking here in verse 12. And he says, wait, aren't you? You're from everlasting to everlasting. You ever know when people, they're in trouble, they got problems in their life, all of a sudden they're so spiritual now. They come to church, they come to the altar, they're on their knees. Oh, they're crying out to God. Oh, they're swaying and they're shaking. And they're like, oh God, oh Lord, oh, I need a miracle. Right? They're all pressing in. Oh, on fire. Here's Habakkuk is kind of doing the same thing. He's like, oh Lord, aren't you from everlasting, oh Lord? Oh my God, my Holy One. Oh Lord, you and I have a special thing. You know. Oh yes, I love the Lord. Oh yes. People, they're laying in the hospital. Oh yes, I love the Lord. Oh, he's so good to me. Oh, and they're sick. They got problems. They got issues. As soon as they get out, yep, see ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. And they're gone. All of a sudden, they get what they want. We've seen it here all the time. People praying, oh, I want God to do a miracle. God does a miracle. They're like, praise him. Well, we'll see ya. Right? Yeah, no more prayer meetings, no more Bible studies, no more coming to the altar. No, everybody's like, I've been blessed. Right? They're looking at you and me from the rear view mirror. You're like, yeah, see ya. It's the way it is in today's Christian world. And so here is Habakkuk. He's like, oh, Lord. He says, we will not die. We will not die. You, O Lord, have appointed them to judge, and you, O rock, have established them to correct? Wait, God, you're going to use those evil, horrible people to bring correction to the people of God? Really? And he's like shocked. God says, see, I told you you wouldn't believe it if I told you. And so he says, God, your eyes are too pure to approve evil. And you cannot look on wickedness with favor. Why do you look with favor on those who deal treacherously? Why are you silent when the wicked swallow up those more righteous than they are? Notice he didn't say the righteous. He said those who are more righteous. We're just a little, you know, we're not Chaldeans, Lord. We're not murderers and killers, and we're not doing all kinds of evil. You know, so we're a little more righteous than that. Just a little more. And we've seen it, right? We've seen people in the world. They will say that. They will say, well, you know, I'm not really a sinner. You know, I'm not a thief. I'm not a murderer. I don't do that. No, you're just a blaspheming, lying, scheming, adulterous, no good, such and such and what a what. Right? Yeah. All right. So you didn't shoot anybody today. But pretty much everything else on the list you've done, right? So, you know, it's like, come on. But this is the mindset of the world. And here's Habakkuk. This is his thinking. And he's like, yeah, God, you know, we're the people of God, you know. We're not as bad as they are. And he says, why have you made men like the fish of the sea, like creeping things without a ruler over them? And that's because that's what they are. That's why they act. And so he says these Chaldeans, they bring all of them up with a hook and they drag them away with their net and gather them together in their fishing net. Therefore, they rejoice and are glad. These people, they're on fire. They're excited about what they're doing. They love conquering people. They're excited. They're rejoicing. They're glad. We're sitting here trembling. We're fearful. We're afraid. And the reason that is happening is because people don't realize God is doing something. God is doing something. Remember Jeremiah? He said, look, guys, if you go to the Chaldeans, you will live. Isn't that what he said? Remember, we did read that last week, right? He said, yeah, you, man, you guys, you know, that memory, you know, they got pills for that now. You know, you can. Yeah, get your memory back, you know. But they, you know, they, you can live if we go to the Chaldeans. They're like, are you insane? We're not going to the Chaldeans. Are you crazy? Go to the Chaldeans. This guy has nothing to do with us. He is not thinking about our best interest. Isn't that what they said? They said, beat him. Beat him again. Beat him. His own pastor took him and said, don't come here. You know, give him the whap, whap, whap. You know, they beat him because he said what God said. He was merely a piece of glass. God was speaking, and he was the vessel. He was reflecting the word of God, the kingdom of God, and people didn't want to hear it. And God is saying, look, if you go to the Chaldeans, you will at least live. They may toy around with you for a little while, but at least you'll live. You will survive. You will survive. Right? And they did, right? Because Daniel survived, didn't he? Daniel, remember him? Oh, you're going to respond a lot quicker next month. Yes, you will. We're a little slow in December. A little slow at the end of November. We're not quite remembering. I'm telling you, you guys may want to go to GNC, get some of those memory vitamins. But you'll remember. And so God is doing something. He's like, God is at work, man. God is at work. I'm doing this. You wouldn't believe it if I told you. So he's laying this out, and he's complaining before God. And God is saying, in chapter 2, he says, dude, look, I got this. And so Habakkuk has a revelation. He begins to realize, this is bigger than me. I can't deal with this. What am I going to do? You know, God, if God is raising up the Chaldeans, doomed. Well, I mean, what are we going to do? This is God. That means I can't pray, Lord, I rebuke the Chaldeans. Lord, I bind them in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you, Chaldean. I bind you. Wait, what? What's that? Excuse me, Lord? Wait, you sent them? You sent? Oh, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, heavenly. Oh, God. How, what do you say to that? Wow. Well, this is Habakkuk now. He's like, he says, all right, God, you know what? I'm going to just stand on my guard post here and station myself. Like, I'm going to fix myself in here on the rampart, and I'm going to keep watch. I'm just going to watch. God, I'm just going to watch to see whatever you say, Lord. I'm going to watch and let you speak to me. You, Lord, you just talk to me. And then I'll figure out how I can reply after I'm rebuked, right? After you've straightened me out. You've reproved me. Now God can do something. Now God can do something. Because now you are in a place where you're starting to see things a little more clearly now. Now the fire has heated you up and you're cooling off, so that now you're starting to become a little more transparent. Now God can start to use Habakkuk. He says, then the Lord answered me and he said, record the vision and inscribe it on tablets. You see, they did have surfaces back then, right? That the one who reads it may run. Hallelujah. The one who reads it may run. This is what God wants. He says, you need to read the testimony of the Lord so you can run, man. So you can run to the Chaldeans, because they're the ones who are going to keep you alive. Oh, you may suffer some pain. You may suffer some challenges, some endurance, some hardships. And Habakkuk is like, God, I don't want to deal with that. What do you mean, Lord? He's going to rapture me out. I'm being raptured. God, I'm going to be raptured. Lord, I'm going to take me out of this. No, God says, no, they're going to beat you. Nope. That's what you got coming. You got a beating coming. Because it's your sin that got you in this mess in the first place. Oh, don't worry. I won't let them beat you so bad that you can't get up. But you will go through. And saints of God, there is a lot of things that the church is going to have to go through. And we're going to have to suffer through. But God always provides a way of escape for his people. That's why Noah had an ark. Hallelujah. God didn't deliver him out. He didn't rapture him out. God said, you're going to go through. And God's going to sustain you. Now, there is a rapture coming. But you still got to go through some trouble. And we're still going to endure some challenges and some difficulties in our lives. And Jesus himself said, in this world, you will have tribulation. That was Jesus' word, tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so God is saying, no matter what is happening around you in the world, no matter what your difficulties are, what your challenges are, you can only trust that God is doing something. You should be trusting in God. But the problem is, they forgot about God altogether. That's why they're in this mess in the first place. And when you forget about God, it doesn't matter if it's a Monday or a Tuesday or a Thursday or a Friday. When you forget about God, whatever day it is, there is consequences to be paid. There are consequences that go with your decisions. Every decision has a consequence. Every choice has a consequence. Sometimes you don't see the result of it until later on, but you sow a seed of something into what is happening in your life, and it's just a matter of time before it takes root and brings forth fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. Not just the blessings, but the curses as well. whatever the seed is that you sow, that is what you will reap. And so God is bringing this principle out for Habakkuk to see. And he's realizing it. He's saying, oh, man. And so God says, oh, now you're catching it. He says, write it down. Write it down so that you don't forget. Write it in the tablet. Save it in the cloud. So that the ones who read it may run. So that other people can read it and run. We're reading this story right now, aren't we? We're reading it right now so we can run. So that we can have confidence in knowing what God is saying and what he's doing in our lives. He says, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal and it will not fail. Though it tarries, wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. Because it will not fail. For it will certainly come. It will not delay. And so we can trust that God is going to see us through. God is going to make a way for us. He says, behold, for as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. Oh, saints of God, God is looking for the righteous to stand. He is looking to guard the righteous. That is who the remnant is. The remnant are those who are doing things rightly according to the will of God, the ways of God. When you apply principles from God in your life, God is able to shine through you. He's able to be magnified, glorified, lifted up, and exalted, and he will enable you to overcome. You can live your life two ways, proudly or righteously. And God says, if you're proud, then your soul is not right within you. Not that your mind isn't right or your thinking isn't right. He said your soul isn't right. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? You don't know my heart. No, but I see your soul. Because it's the soul that is revealed. And God says when you live according to his will and his ways, that is an evidence of your faith in God. And it is our faith in God that brings healing, deliverance. It opens the door for God to work. And that's why you can't have a lot of negative people in your life. You can't have a lot of people complaining and talking about everything that's going wrong. All you have to do is to say to them, well, you wouldn't believe what God is doing if I were to tell you. God is doing something. But when your soul isn't right, you can't see God. When there's a veil between you and God, you can't see what God is doing. When there's no relationship with God, you're not going to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. You're not going to know what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. You're going to go by whatever the news man is saying. You're going to go by whatever you hear on Instagram or whatever you see on TikTok or whatever it is that you're walking with. You're going to see all this stuff, and that is going to determine your reality. But God has his own reality. And God says, guess what? I'm raising up the Chaldeans. And you wouldn't believe it if I were to tell you. And God is doing things in your life. You wouldn't believe what God is doing if he were to tell you. But you can trust him. You can know that he is reliable. He says, don't be proud, because if you're proud, that's a sign that your soul isn't right. What does pride look like? Well, we know from Proverbs, it looks like the man who has figured things out according to his own mentality, his own way, and is now living accordingly. You've got it worked out for yourself. You figured out, well, that, I'm glad that works for you, but you know, for me, this is way I'm gonna. That's pride. And that is the sign a soul is not right. When your soul is right, you live by faith. You take the word of God and you trust it. You apply it in your life. You're very careful to do all that it says. And what the voice of the Spirit of God is saying, that is what you do. When you read it in the word of God, your desire is to apply it in your life. The principle, the way of God. You have a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. You have a desire to see the glory of God magnified in your life and all around you. You have this stirring of God by the Spirit of God. And you're reflecting Jesus. That is what the righteous looks like. That's what faith looks like. He says in Habakkuk 3:2 at the end, he is there, and now here's Habakkuk, and he's saying, Lord, I have heard the report about you, and I fear. I'm afraid. He says, oh Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. And in the midst of the years, make it known. In other words, God, man, you have your way, Lord. You have your way. I'm just going to keep watch here. I'm just going to pay attention. I'm not taking matters into my own hands. I'm not going to try to figure stuff out. You're doing stuff I can't even, oh man, it's beyond me. And so I'm just going to trust you. He says, I'm afraid of the things that you got. I've got not just reverence, but I'm afraid. God is raising up Chaldeans. You're not, well, God is good. He's so sovereign. Such a sovereign. Wait, did you say the Chaldeans? Wait, God, you're sending the, oh God. No, anybody but them. No, where are the Hittites? Where are the Jebusites? Give me somebody. But not them. And so we go through things. And sometimes things get worse in our life because we didn't listen the first time. And so when we don't listen, things just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger in our lives. And this is why we have to learn when God speaks. He says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not just knocking to come in to your life overall, but he's knocking to get an opportunity to have a say in your decision making. In the little things, God wants to be interactive. One of the most powerful things about this book is that Habakkuk had the mindset to even talk to God about what was going on. He had to have a relationship with God to have this level of boldness to come and talk to God. This is what Christ enables us to have. We have boldness to interact with God. And so here's Habakkuk, he's saying, oh God, revive your work in the midst of the years. In other words, redeem all this evil and all the sins, the things that we've missed over the years. He's like, God, fix it. Fix it, God, and make everything known. Make it all restored in the wrath and remember mercy. So even as you're bringing correction, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. And God says, I will always make a way of escape for those who place their faith and trust in him. He says, I heard and my inward parts trembled at the sound of my lips quivered. My goodness, can you imagine? That's some scaredness right there, isn't it? Fear. Can you imagine? Your inner parts are shaking. So much that your lips are quivering. Man, that's some news. That's some scary news. That's how fearful of the Chaldeans people were. This is what Habakkuk is dealing, the magnitude of the level of fear. And then to hear that even God was with them. Where do you go with that? He says, decay enters my bones, and in my place I tremble. He says, because I must wait quietly for the day of distress. It's like, I can't pray this away. Prayer isn't gonna fix this. This is reaping what you have sown. And saints of God, that's how life is. You cannot undo what you have sown. Once you have sown it, you are going to reap it. It is the way it is. All we can do is wait on the Lord and trust quietly. We have to wait and allow God to do what God is going to do. We say, God, have mercy on me. And Habakkuk is crying out for mercy. He's saying, have mercy, because God is saying, look, I raised them up because all these years, nobody was listening. Everybody did their own thing. And so now the Chaldeans are coming. There's no waving the magic wand or the Christian, whatever the words are that people like to pray to make things better for themselves in their minds. God says, I got this. And you wouldn't believe what I'm going to do if I told you. So Habakkuk says, I have to wait quietly for the day of distress. For the people who arise, who will invade us. Well, he had a reality check. Now he's seeing perfectly clear. Everything is clear now. Everything is transparent to him. He has had a rude awakening. And saints of God, there's a rude awakening coming to a lot of people in the world. A rude awakening is coming. And you and I have to be ready. We have to be a people who have a relationship with God so that we can stand on our watch post, our watchtowers, and see what God is doing. Be aware of what God is doing so we can navigate through life and overcome the obstacles and the challenges that we face so that we can be as Habakkuk ended up. As he is here in verse 17, he says, though the fig tree should not blossom and there be no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive should fail and the fields produce no food, though the flock should be cut off from the fold and there be no cattle in the stalls, yet I will exalt in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my salvation, in the God who saves me, is another way of saying it. Saints of God, it doesn't matter how bad the world gets. God is only doing it so that people would come to him, would repent, would call upon him, so he can show mercy and grace. And if you and I will respond to the word of the Lord, to the call of God, to be obedient, to do what he's called us to do, to go into the world and minister the gospel, the truth of God, the testimonies of the Lord, then the grace of God will be poured out on us. He will cover us. He said that he is like a strong tower. He is the shelter. You and I, as the righteous, we can run into him and we can be safe. Hallelujah. God is our source of life, health, and strength. We can say, as Habakkuk says, the Lord is my strength, and he has made my feet like hinds' feet. He makes me walk on the high places. For the choir director on my stringed instruments, he's able to say, come on, play some music. I'm going to worship and praise God. It doesn't matter that the Chaldeans are here. Doesn't matter they're doing what they're doing. I'm in the hands of God. As long as God is sending the Chaldeans, I know that I am safe. I know that as I do the will of God, as I apply the truths of God in my life, that I will reign victoriously. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. And I will keep watch and I will see what the Lord will say to me, so I will know how to respond when I am corrected or when I am rebuked. I will know God is saying, I have it in control. I can see you through. Therefore, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:12, having such hope, we use great boldness in our speech. Saints of God, I pray that you have boldness in your speech, because you're standing on your rampart and you're watching and you're seeing what God is doing and you're sounding the call to repentance and you're saying to the world, to the people in your lives, to your coworkers, to your friends, to those in your family, you're saying we have to get right with God. We have to look to him because he is doing something, and I'm telling you, you wouldn't believe it if I told you. saying, don't be like the people of Israel who forgot what God said. They failed to reflect the glory of God. In verse 13, he says, and they are not like Moses, who used to put a veil over his face so that the sons of Israel would not look intently at the end of what was fading away. He says, but whenever, verse 16, a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Oh, saints of God, we need more people to see what God is doing. Don't get caught up in what the Chaldeans are doing or where they're coming from. We know they're coming, and that is why we have to get right with God. We want to get close to God, and we're saying, Lord, show us, have mercy upon us. God, make a way for us, and so that when we are calling upon the name of the Lord, we shall be delivered. Verse 17 says, Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Oh, saints of God, this is a reason to rejoice, because you and I have the same Spirit. The Spirit of Jesus that was raised up from the grave dwells in us. We have the ability to overcome. We have victory in our lives. He finally says in verse 18, but we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. And saints of God, we're being transformed. We may start out as sand, but we are being transformed to the glory of God. We are being transformed to reflect the image of Christ, so that God can be seen through our situations, our circumstances, and all that we've endured, all that we are, would reflect the kingdom of God. But we all, with unveiled face, in other words, we can come plainly before God, just like Habakkuk did. We can talk to God. We can interact with God. We can allow the Spirit of the Lord to shine through us so that we would reflect the image of His glory. Let your life be like this window to the soul, that the world would see the glory of God through you. Let them see Christ in you. Reflect the sun and the shining of His glory through your life, that the hand of God may be lifted up and exalted and enable you to be a looking glass so that God can be glorified. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet.
We need your mercies, oh God. We repent of our ways and we turn to you again. And we turn to you, oh God. We cry out for your mercy, oh God. We cry out for your grace.
Faithful. He will respond, and you will see the glories of the Lord. Well, I pray that as you leave here today, that you are not walking in pride, but you are walking in the fullness of the Spirit of God, that you are applying wisdom and the word of faith in your life, so that the trust and faith you have in God will be evident as people look in to the soul of your very life and see the very glory of God, that He is faithful, that He is able, and that He is capable of liberating and setting the captives free. And so I pray in the name of Jesus, dear Lord, that You would flow freely in the midst of us. Open our eyes and enable us to see. Help us to avoid the complainer and the person who can only see the evil, but we would be able to speak life to them and enable them to see what the Spirit of the Lord is doing. Help us, oh God, to have the Spirit of the Lord so that we would be able to have confidence in God, faith in God, knowing that when trouble comes, when the Chaldeans come that God is doing something. It may be hard to believe, but I tell you, the Lord is at hand, and He is doing a mighty work. And we thank you, oh God, for using us and enabling us to walk in your ways and according to the harmony of your word in the Spirit of God, in your strength. And as wisdom is poured out to us, let us be the witness that you called us to be, that we would testify to this lost and dying world, that the Spirit of God would prevail, and that God would be lifted up and exalted. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Lord, you are the Lord.